This is a sermon for the second Sunday in Lent, and the scriptures it reflects on are Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 7 and 15 to 16, and Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Last week, our Old Testament reading and the sermon centered on Noah and God's covenant after the flood with all living things never again to destroy the world by flood. This week, our Old Testament reading has moved forward in time to Abraham, and again we have the giving of a covenant. And I suspect that this is not accidental, but that the people who put together the lectionary have decided that during Lent, reflecting on the foundations of our relationship with God might be a helpful thing to do. And so they give us these covenants, these kind of foundational binding agreements between God and human beings, and invite us to consider what they might say about our relationships with God today. And while you might, on a sort of surface level reading, decide that if you're not one of Abraham's offspring, then this doesn't say much to you at all today, Christians have never really been content to do that, and have instead come up with all sorts of creative ways to understand how God's relationship with Abraham still matters for us now. And we see St. Paul doing that in today's reading from the Romans. But while last week I made a point about this showing us a God who wants to be in relationship with us and who takes the initiative in creating that relationship and putting in place the structures in which that relationship can thrive, this week I want to think about some different aspects of what covenant with God can be about. There are, in Scripture, four major covenants between God and God's people. The covenant with Noah, which we looked at last week. The covenant with Abraham, which we're glancing at this week. The covenant with Moses, which we'll get to next week. And the covenant through Christ. And whatever else we might say about these covenants, I'd suggest that each one is putting forward to the people receiving it something of an alternative to the prevailing social order. Noah finds himself in covenant with a God who, unlike other local deities of the time, does not threaten to destroy the world in flood. Abraham enters a covenant with a God who promises him descendants and a secure dwelling place rather than capricious manipulation. Moses, with the rest of the people leaving Egypt, enters a covenant with a God who gives a legal framework for a stable and flourishing society, rather than one where the gods are invoked to justify oppression and exploitation. And Christ, well, Christ comes with the reign of God and all that means for us. But before anything else, in Christ's time, the reign of God was a stark contrast and challenge to the reign of Caesar. Some of that has kind of blurred for us over time and with some cultural distance, but to give you some idea of how sharp that contrast was, the word sacrament, which we use for baptism and communion, in the Roman Empire of Jesus' day, that was the word for the oath of loyalty to Caesar taken by a soldier. By borrowing that word and saying that these things are our sacraments, the early church said in doing these things, in being baptized, and in celebrating and receiving communion, we make and renew our pledge of loyalty to God rather than to Caesar. So we could say that each of these instances of covenant sets up a relationship with God in which the people participating experience a radical alternative to the worldview and the practices of the wider society around them. And this is an important point about Jesus' instruction to take up your cross. Not so much that he's telling us to be stoic about suffering or even death, but that choosing loyalty to God in Christ meant choosing to be at odds with Caesar, and knowing that the ultimate penalty for that choice of loyalties could be a brutally cruel death. And the other thing about all of these covenants is that they are not only for the benefit of the people to whom they are given, but through them for the benefit of the whole world. The covenant with Noah is for all flesh. Abraham becomes the father, as Paul would have it, of everyone who accepts relationship with God. The law of Moses is given so that Israel might be a blessing and a light to the nations. And the church is called also to recognize that we are here for the sake of the people around us. So we worship a God who binds God's self to us in covenant relationship. And as we consider these foundational covenants which tell us what that means, it suggests two things. First, that loyalty to this covenant relationship means experiencing, in some sense, a radical alternative to our wider social context. If the community around us does not live in a relationship with God, does not find God as the source of its identity, does not order its lives on God's character, our community will be different and may well be misunderstood, rejected, or opposed. Now, we need to think about that with some careful nuance. We are, in this time and place, inheritors of a legacy of the church behaving appallingly badly. Recognizing, accepting, and working through the fallout of that does not make us victims. But at the same time, being willing to question the assumptions, the norms, and the values of our wider society, to hold them up against the reign of God and say, where does this match, and where do we have to choose differently, is going to be part of faithful discipleship. That choosing differently is part of taking up our cross. Accepting that choosing Christ may mean suspicion or rejection from the rest of the world, and being willing to face the price of that, even when the price is very high indeed. But the other part of what it means to be in covenant with God is that it's not only for our benefit. We, the church, are here to be a sign, an instrument, and a foretaste of God's kingdom for others. God establishes God's covenant with us so that through us the whole world might benefit. So another question for us to ponder this Lent might be, what benefit is it to our wider community that we, this church, are here? Can people come to us and experience something of the reign of God? How might we make that deeper and richer and broader and more inclusive than it already is, so that we can more authentically point people to God? In other words, how can we live out what it means to be in covenant with God in Northern Albury today?